ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Welcome into the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sacktown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. My buddy Scott Marsh is beside me. And Scott, here we go with another week of golf talk on the radio.
I can't wait. Let's get to it.
We will be back and tell you all what we've got to tell you about right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sacktown Sports.
You know, what a great time to be in Northern California. Of course, it's always a great time to be in Northern California. We've got some of the best golf courses in the world, really. It's to the point we can probably even get spoiled when we think about what we've got. But we need to remember that it's really high quality golf available. But certainly the U.S. Women's Open is going on right now at Pebble Beach, and 78th tournament in its history and the first time ever at Pebble Beach. So it ought to be a really fun environment down there.
Oh, it's going to be an incredible weekend. And of course, with Rose Zhang, the Stanford player in the tournament, a lot of local excitement as well.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit with Greg Vaughn coming up about the Gold Rush Classic, as he's going to play there at Rancho Marietta on July 13th and 14th. And that's an opportunity to get out and see, some folks like Reggie Theus and Greg Vaughn and Mike Merriweather and some former NFL players and former Kings players. And they'll be teeing it up for charity. John Jacobs tournament up there, and somehow I'm included as a celebrity, and I think that's maybe with a really, really small C at the front.
Oh, I don't think so. I think you're the number one pick in any celebrity draft. But I tell you who I would choose, no offense to you. If I just wanted to play with the most popular guy, I would play with you. But if I'm picking the best player out there, Greg Ostertag, who's going to be out there, the former 7-foot center for the Kings, is honestly maybe the best player I've ever played with before. His handicap is almost scratch. He hits it over 300 yards off the tee, and he has a short game like I've never seen before. And that's for a 7-footer.
I was just going to say, that's amazing. The guy is so big. I mean, you know, to have soft hands like that around the greens, you would imagine he hits the ball a long way, but that short game, that's really amazing. I'm going to look forward to shaking his hand and kind of watching him play.
Yeah, it was incredible to play with him. I told him he should be playing in the American Century Tournament. As much as John's tournament is great, it's the same time. But they told him he wasn't a big enough star, so he couldn't get in. I guess if Paige Sparotti can't get into the American Century Tournament with her 4 million Instagram followers, then maybe it's hard for Greg to argue as well.
And, of course, coming up in September is the Fortinet Championship at Silverado Resort. And I don't know, is this the – I kind of got lost. Is this the third or the fourth year? Maybe it's the fourth year, huh?
I'll have to look. You know, obviously it was the Safeway event beforehand, and Fortinet came in. I believe it's the third year with Fortinet coming up.
Looking forward to you and I will be at the media day coming up the end of this month, and certainly we'll have something to do during the tournament. But that's always fun to get the PGA Tour players back here in Northern California.
It'll be a great event. Max Homa will definitely be there defending his two-time back-to-back championship. And it's always a tremendous event.
You know, we've played a little bit of golf lately ourselves. We got to play in the Bobby Jackson tournament along with the G-man Gary Gerald and Jason Ross. And I don't know that we distinguished ourselves with our score, but we sure had a lot of fun.
Well, you know, time ran out on us because we were just catching fire when most of us had to leave to get to the California Classic. We had birdied the last three holes. We were moving up the leaderboard like speed demons, and then it got shut down. But I know you and Albie and Connie kept the roll going for us.
You know, one of the things that that kind of made an impression on me, Scott, there were a lot of people that are listeners of the show that came up to talk to us. And it's always great to have the kind of feedback that that people seem to be enjoying what we're doing every week. And I keep asking, you know, what do you want us to do different? And so far, nobody has suggested we, you know, that we should be, you know, talking about the color of golf balls or anything like that. So that was kind of fun to hear.
No, that's great. And I love all the great sentiments we hear. I'm sure part of what you hear, you just don't share with me, is get rid of Marsh. That's probably the number one thing they say about the show. I appreciate you not mentioning that to me here on the show. But no, the comments are great. People enjoyed it. And the thing that always impresses me is just how popular the game of golf is right now.
And yeah, all across the board. I mean, it's so much fun to see people get involved in the game, and they have that aha moment when they go, "That's what this is all about." I mean, it really is very, very difficult to describe why any of us would go out there and in effect torture ourselves trying to get better at a game that basically, I suppose it's as difficult as you want it to be in terms of what your expectations are, but. But to see the fun that people are having, that's sort of my mantra. It's a game, so go out and enjoy it.
I agree, and I think it's really becoming a universal game. It's truly a game that anybody can play. It doesn't matter what gender you are, what race you are, what age you are. You can pick up a club and do something with it. And we've seen people who, fight a lot of physical challenges playing the game, and the great work that's being done with PGA Hope and all of that. Everybody can get out there, and even if you just hit one good shot in the round, you have something that you can take away from it. And of course, you're building friends all the way through it.
You've played a lot of golf in the last couple of
Yes.
weeks. You had what? Would you play 4 days in a row or something? Give us the rundown
I
of
have to admit, it's
where
been
you
six
played.
straight days.
Oh my gosh. And it started where?
So 6 days and six courses. I'm having the t-shirts made up pretty soon for the Scott Marsh Road Tour. So I went from Del Paso to Empire Ranch to Bodega Bay to Serrano to Morgan Creek to Valley High.
And if you weren't working with a basketball game last night, you'd have played Hagen Oaks last night as well in the
I would
meantime.
have finished the ultimate 7 day rotation, no doubt.
And my guess is that every one of those courses were in pretty good shape this time of year. We're starting to get a little bit of heat, but I've been really surprised at how well the superintendents have done to keep the grass green and have it look like we're probably in the fall.
Yeah, no, we're so lucky. We have so many great professionals in our area who do keep the courses great. And we just have such a great mix too of, private country club courses to public courses that everybody can access, different degrees of challenge based on where you play, different slopes, different, ups and downs in terms of valleys and just a little up climb. So we've got a great array of different golf courses here. There's no question.
And coming up on the show right after we quit babbling here is Bob Klein, who's the director of golf at White Hawk Ranch in Gray Eagle. And that's a golf course that you have to get up to. When you get up in the Gray Eagle area, I think the time the clocks go backwards. It just everything kind of slows down. But what a beautiful setting and a beautiful course right there in that valley that they're set in.
Yeah, for sure. And I think part of it too, part of the appeal of golf is you can take that ultimate guys trip, or even if it's ultimate girls trip. And people think of Monterey, of course, Bandon Dunes. You think of the Truckee area in Tahoe. But I tell you what, Gray Eagle up there in the northeast part of our state, there's so many great courses there with White Hawk Gray Eagle. I look forward to talking to Bob. The Dragon's up there. You can really make a great trip and play some wonderful courses.
Greg Vaughn, former Major League Baseball player, Sacramento grown, will be with us to talk about not only his charity, but playing in the Gold Rush Classic, John Jacobs tournament coming up at Rancho Murrieta on July 13th and 14th. A lot on tap here.
A lot on tap, and with Greg, we saw him on his birthday on Monday out at Bobby's tournament, and it'll be great to talk about the Gold Rush Classic also.
A lot coming up here on the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. We will be back right after these messages.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
We are back here on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. I'm Frank LaRosa, Scott Marsh, co-host, and Scott, another. I guess I've been around the golf business more longer than I actually care to think about it, but. I was going to say another old friend, and I've known Bob Klein a number of years. Bob Klein, PGA, is the head professional at White Hawk Ranch. And Bob, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here this morning.
You know, the world of golf is really about relationships. You know, I think of the first time I met you, I just, you know, saw your smiling face across the room and, you know, had to meet this guy with the with all the energy. And you've been a good friend for a number of years. But I guess I didn't know as much about your career as I thought. And we were kind of talking a little bit before we got on the air here. You've been a PGA professional for 40 plus years, and you were kind of alluding to how you got your start in Southern California. Why don't you pick up on that story again?
I was working for a management company after I'd caddied at a club and was an assistant at Brentwood Country Club. And they were looking for someone at one of their private clubs, and it was new to them. They had only public courses. So they offered me a position at a club. I took it. And it was part of what was Club Corp at the time. And so I was with at that facility about 4 years, and they offered me an opportunity to move to Northern California, which they knew I was pretty anxious to get out of Southern California and go somewhere else. And I enjoyed the Bay Area. So I ended up at Alameda. That's where I started my Bay Area.
Yeah, but you had a fun little note about being at a dinner with the former tour player by the name of Tommy Bolt. That was kind of a fun story.
It was, he was pretty calm. There was nobody gave him a club so he could throw anything, but he was quite a character. I had seen him play at Southern Hills in a major championship when I was about 6 or 7 years old, and I was just starting to play golf. And I was, as I told you, I was collecting tees. So a player would hit a shot and they would walk off, or the tee would fly off to the side and nobody would pick it up but me. So that was probably my first big bulletin board, so to speak, where I'm collecting tees, and I had their names on it, and Arnold Palmer and various players.
That's pretty cool. So from the Bay Area, you got up here to the Northern California section and the Sacramento area. How did that transition happen?
I got invited to play in a pro-am up at Gray Eagle. There was a professional that had an accident, fallen and hurt his arm. And I knew Ken Towns, who was up here. I had met him in a tournament, and they reached out to me, and I came up and played. And little did I know, shortly after, Ken retired, and they started interviewing. And I came up one that winter, interviewed, and was fortunate enough to get the job. And I've been with the family 35 years at Gray Eagle Meadows.
Wow, that is incredible. And Ken Towns, certainly another legendary name in Northern California, a member of the PGA Hall of Fame. You've rubbed elbows with some pretty cool people.
I've been very blessed. My sister played on the tour for 13 years, caddied for her a few times, and we've still maintained our relationship after that.
What's that like being out on the tour?
The women, thankfully, I only did it about, I think I caddied for four times, one of which was in Japan. I got to go overseas with her, and we were still talking when we got back. It was different. I mean, I was used to seeing the men's tour. I had played in a couple of tour events. I'd played in a couple majors, and it's a different world. But gosh, they're so talented. And now to watch them is amazing. I mean, I still enjoy watching them, the ladies play, and how far they're hitting it, and just another game compared to where she was. She was out when Annika was winning a lot at the time.
Bad timing, huh?
She did okay. She won a couple of, she won. So she was making money. She was happy. She was doing well.
That's great.
Yeah, she made a Solheim Cup team, a winning team. And so that was pretty exciting.
That's very cool.
Much her play.
So you've been up at Gray Eagle area for 35 plus years. I remember the first time I went to Gray Eagle, I'd heard about Gray Eagle and I thought, my God, that's forever to get there. And I never made the trek, and then finally did and was mesmerized. I mean, I was literally blown away. Driving into that area and being there for a day or so, I was absolutely certain that the clocks ran slower up there. An opportunity to relax, to rest, to, you know, kind of take life at a slower pace. I was I just can't, you know, I've been back a few times and I just can't wait to get back again. It's just, especially for a golfer, you know, to put you in that kind of a mood to go out and play golf. I just think I'm very jealous of you, I guess, Bob, is what I'm saying.
It's pretty phenomenal. I mean, when I came up here my first time, you wonder when you're going to get to where you're supposed to be going. You're just winding around in the forest. But as it has turned out, there are 5 golf courses in the area now, easily within 10 minutes of here. And there's new, you know, so many additions in Truckee. So you're going by 5, 6, 7 courses in Truckee, or 5 courses up here. And then Reno's only an hour away. So we get a lot of Reno traffic. But for us in the wintertime, we can make the trek over to Reno and get some golf in. They're open a lot more than people think.
Scott, have you played the Gray Eagle area? Have you been up there?
I've been up there. Unfortunately, I have not played Gray Eagle. I've played the Dragon, but I've not played Gray Eagle. So I need to make that trip up there. That's just a great great boys trip to go up there and spend a few days and play the courses up there. And I've heard nothing but great things, Bob, about Gray Eagle.
We've been pretty fortunate. We had the opportunity to we were looking at another course, and I knew that Whitehawk was for sale. And so I managed to put the owners, our owners, our family together with the owners of Whitehawk. And we managed to get this done 5 years ago. So now we are the proud owner of 2 golf courses up here that are both amazing. I play golf literally every day, every afternoon, after work. Now I'm just looking at a different view over at Whitehawk. Over there now.
You know, you talk about Whitehawk. I'll tell you the honest truth. I've never played Gray Eagle because Whitehawk is just so enticing to me. I mean, mm-hmm. it's like a little jewel, you know, in a gold mine. I mean, it's the resort there. It's the golf course and the lodge. It's just a package that, you know, it's kind of hard to turn your back on. And if I remember correctly, when you standing on the driving range, as you look up into the horizon in that valley, that particular picture that you see is on some seal for the state of California or something. I heard that story a long time ago. And you know, if I were smart enough to have researched it before we talked, I'd be able to tell you exactly what it was. But you really feel like you're in a little bit of heaven when you're there. And one of the most and enticing and charming golf courses I've ever played.
Well, it is. It's funny you mentioned that. I went over there 2 or 3 times a year to play while I was working at Gray Eagle. I just never had the time, really. And I had the opportunity so I retired, quote unquote, from Gray Eagle and had a little bit of time off. And then I reached out to the owners and said, how about I do the buying and some merchandising and work a couple days a week to help out over there. And it's turned into a little bit more than that. We actually have a head professional that's working under me, and I have become the director of golf. But to the point, you get over there and the view is phenomenal. I just never noticed it. And I don't know if it's on a California site or not, but it is just big sky view where it's all the sky and the mountains that I see every day anyway, but not from this perspective. And so it's just been delightful over there, spending my time there and teaching and working with our new head professional.
For someone that has not played Whitehawk, they're standing on the first tee. What can they expect by the time the day is over?
They'll be making their reservations to come back before they make the tournament. Yeah. You hear that, Scott? So
I did. Get me up there. Yes.
Stay here a little bit, would you?
Yeah. I'm sold.
Yeah. No, it's just beautiful. Every hole is very unique. I'll tell you, Dick Bailey was the architect, and the White family had started this project, before 96, but that's when it actually opened, 1996. But they certainly had a vision, and I don't know that any of us saw how beautiful it really was going to turn out. So now, having had the course open nearly 30 years, we're sneaking up on it. it's just spectacular. It gets better every time I play it. I still play every night. I played last night, got nine holes in. It's just the perfect way to finish a day and go home and then have to barbecue and hang out. So
that's we a get good life.
The 4th of July.
Yeah.
Heck breaks loose now for the next few days up here.
That's a good life. Hey, a question a little off topic, but since your sister played pro golf and you caddy, I'm curious that with the U.S. Open, the women playing at Pebble Beach this week, just your thoughts on the women's U.S. Open being held at Pebble Beach for the first time.
It's hard to believe it has not happened, but I'm so excited it is happening for them. You know, they did get some great venues, but it's so nice to see the change that's been going on really over the last, seems like 3 or 4 years, maybe it's a few longer than that, but they're finally getting on some phenomenal golf courses where they should be, just like everyone else. So I'm so happy for them.
That was your question, Scott? No follow-up?
That was my question. Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited about the Open this week. We've got so much good golf going on.
Yeah. You know, and this really starts a nice period here in Northern California with the Fortinet coming up pretty soon. And, you know, then we come
Barracuda
around.
Barracuda up in the area as well.
Absolutely. The ACC at Edgewood. It's a good place to be. Northern California is not only a great place to live, but have some wonderful golf courses and some, at this time of year, some great golf to go look at. Bob, the years ago, as I remember, White Hawk was labeled one of the most women-friendly golf courses ever designed. And I'm certain that hasn't changed. But what is it about the golf course that makes it player-friendly?
I was about to touch on that, and then I kind of got on another track with Mr. Bailey having designed the golf course. I know he has, I don't know all of his courses, but he has them throughout the United States, but he has made a golf course that's very playable, but yet you need to get to certain spots on the course to play it maybe more easily, but it's so much fun to play a golf course that a designer really does. And you start realizing the places you should be, shouldn't be. To the point of the ladies, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 sets of tees, the 1 hawk, the 2 hawk, the 3, the 4 hawk. And then we have the combo tees, which have been so popular over the last few years at all the golf courses. So we offer something, you know, in the 4,500 yard range for ladies on up. They can play the 1.5s, meaning they'll play some 1 hawks and some of the 2 hawk tees for some of our ladies who hit it a little further. And yeah, it's just so accessible for everybody at every level.
One of the things that that always impressed me about being at White Hawk too was the spirit and personalities and service of all of the staff there. I never saw anybody without a smile. The folks that run the grill there, you know, it's as if you were their best friend for 40 years when you go in and grab a burger or whatever it is, and your staff that, you know, let you know when your tea time is. It's just so friendly, and it again, I think, is just sort of indicative of the Gray Eagle area.
We're fortunate enough to have a lot of college kids over there right now working in the outside services area. And you're right, we have really run across some good kids. All of them go back to college pretty soon, so you may see my grumpy face dragging bags around a little bit. But it's not new. We know how to do that. But yeah, it's been a delight over there. And again, to where you're standing looking up the valley, how could you not be pretty happy about where you show up every day to do some work?
You mentioned the 4th of July coming up. The whole small town vibe is just again, I think the first time I was there, I was just it kind of brought me back in time to, you know, simpler times when you know, going on trips with my parents and you know, and auto courts and things like that, you know, the smaller kinds of rooms, and even the lodge there at White Hawk is, you know, individual rooms popped around here and there. And one of my most pleasant memories was being at, I don't know, was it a Foster Freeze or something as you come into town?
Yeah.
And just standing in the parking lot with my two kids and my wife, you know, eating an ice cream cone on a beautiful summer evening, you know, with the stars. And it just really paints a picture that, that, you know, I'll have in my mind forever.
It's, it is not a company, Foster Freeze, but it is a family that has always run it. And I think we're into our second family in the last 40 years.
Wow.
That runs that thing. Yeah. With the soft serve ice cream and all they have going on, miniature golf course. You remember Jimmy Anderson from over at North Star?
Uh-huh.
Know him? He actually had the little mini golf. He retired and he had a little driver next to it and the miniature golf course there. He kind of did that in his later years in retirement. So it was always nice to stop by and say hello to him.
You know, I certainly wanted to talk to you about White Hawk Ranch, but with all the years you spent at Gray Eagle, why don't you give us the brief description of what people can expect over there and come up and play both courses.
Well, we have, since we own the two of them, we put something together where you get a nice reduction. You play what is called our two-play card. So you play one round at Gray Eagle and one at White Hawk. And that has been terribly, terribly popular since we had purchased the course. So we get a little taste of everything. Gray Eagle is, oh my gosh, we've been open forever, it seems like, since mid-60s. Phenomenal shape, very small greens. And again, as much as I love to play, every day, 5 o'clock, 5:30, I went out there and walked nine holes, you know, whether front nine or back nine. So very busy golf course and well-received, and people have been coming up here for years, you know, with their family trips. And White Hawk just kind of added to it. And yeah, we get a few people that just come up from Truckee and forget to drive the extra 7 miles to see what else we have up here.
My guess is with all the years that you've been there, you see a lot of people returning, you know, in summers with families. Yeah. And things like that. I mean, that has to be kind of fun. That's you know, what America kind of, you know, it's our mental picture of what the country ought to be. And you've been living it for all these years. That you know, I'm sure those stories, you know, you have lots of them in your head that, you know, at any given moment, you know, some name pops up and it's, oh, yeah, I remember when their kids were three or something like that.
It's fun to see these little guys grow up and now they're bringing their families. And 4th of July, yeah, you hit on it. It's a small community. We have the Bicycle Brigade. My grandchildren ride their bikes in that. You know, the fire truck leads it to start it off with the siren going. And people line up their chairs a day or two before along the highway, you know, and all the stores to get their place in line to watch this. And this is going to be my first year I have actually gotten to go and see the parade, you know, with whether it was my kids years ago or now my grandchildren. But I was too busy working. And so I have that opportunity with my girlfriend, Barbara, who you know. And she's on her way up here and we get to hang out and do the whole thing, the pancake breakfast, the parade and all that goes with, and then fireworks. We have them Saturday night. I think we're always on a weekend near the 4th, and it's quite a show they put on.
I don't know about you, Scott, but he's making me very, very jealous.
I'm in my car. I'm heading up there.
I know you should be. It's a treat up here. And I do have room in my backyard at my condo. So just bring your sleeping bag. The weather's supposed to be good.
Bob Klein, I wish.
Come up and kiss you. The deer, they'll kind of look at you and what's going on here.
I don't know why it's taken so long for me to get you on the show, but I appreciate you spending some time with us today. It's a Gray Eagle Meadows and our Gray Eagle Golf Course and White Hawk Ranch. And, go on up and say hi to Bob, and you know he may even show you where the Foster Freeze is. It's a wonderful spot to be in the Gray Eagle area. Thanks so much for spending some time with us today, Bob.
No, I appreciate it so much. I enjoyed meeting you, Scott. Also, I do.
Bob, thanks for being on.
Okay.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Show here on Sactown Sports 1140. Back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa. He is Scott Marsh. And Scott, it's pretty exciting. Our next guest, Greg Vaughn. Anybody that has grown up in Sacramento certainly knows the name. He played at Kennedy High School, went on to play a number of years in the major leagues. And, you know, Greg, I was doing a little research on you today. And as much as I appreciate you and your career, when I just found out you were a cousin of Mo Vaughn, now, you know, as a lifelong Red Sox fan, we are buddies. Welcome to the show.
That's what it took for us to be buddies. You're a Red Sox fan? No, yeah. Unfortunately, you know, Mo does not, you know, play golf, you know, and he's living in West Palm. But yeah. I have another cousin, Sacramento, also Reed Reynolds. That's my mom's brother's son. All the same little league, same Pop Warner teams, and he played 11 years in the NFL. So,
you know, those are both exciting careers. You had an incredible career playing with the Brewers, the Padres, the Reds, the Devil Rays, and the Rockies, and you had a season with 50 homers. You hit 45 homers, and then you got traded. You hit 45. You got traded back to back. You hit. You were the second guy in Major League history to hit 40 homers on two separate teams. That was a pretty cool record.
Yeah, you know, I didn't know much about the records at the time. You know, we had cell phones, but. To be honest with you, even about, you know, my stats and my career, people say what are the numbers, how many home runs. I've never Googled myself. Some people are going to say you're full of crap. The only reason I know the numbers is because when people ask me to sign stuff, they say, can you put 360-something home runs on it? And I'm like, I hate writing numbers on balls, but if they ask me, yeah, I'll do it. That's the only reason I know how many home runs I've hit.
Scott, you and Greg have known each other for a number of years. What's your biggest takeaway of Greg and his career or of your friendship?
You know, just how wonderful he is to the community. You know, he's just one of those guys, and we're lucky in Sacramento because we have several of them, but a guy who accomplished so much at the highest level, and it's just given so much back to the city. And that's what I've always admired about Greg so much. And just you know, Frank, how accessible he is, to the point there's not a person he hasn't signed an autograph for or shaken a hand with or just been extremely friendly with. And those are the people you love to be around. So that would be my takeaway from Greg. And Greg, it's great to have you on the show. And I know as much as you're baseball, you are a golfer diehard as well. You love getting out there on the course.
Oh, yeah, I do. And, you know, my birthday is on Monday. And my daughter's boyfriend and my boys are coming up and they're like, Dad, we're golfing. You know, they got the bug. Corey, my oldest, who played 5 years in AAA for the Mets, he's like, Dad, we'll be there. And, you know, I took my grandson to the first tee, you know, to get him going. So it's going to be a boys' weekend in Vegas golfing.
Well, an early happy birthday from the Golf to Go radio show from Scott and I, Greg. You had this great career. You're retired now. You're playing a lot of golf, but as Scott mentioned, you certainly want to give back. You have a your own charity tournament, and if I'm not mistaken, it's to benefit diabetes. Is that correct?
Yes. At the time, it was for juvenile diabetes. My oldest, when I was in Toronto, came down. I got a call saying he had juvenile diabetes, and I couldn't be out of there on the next thing smoking in Canada because air traffic control, they don't care who you are. They just shut everything down. And so I went to the business center to try to learn as much as I could about, you know, juvenile diabetes, because I never heard of it before. And I was sort of ignorant because I said, isn't that for like out of shape, older people? So I went to the learning center on that computer and started printing out all this stuff, had to get more paper, because I knew that first thing in the morning I was out of there. I went from Toronto straight to the children's ward at Sutter and try to gain as much knowledge as I could about this disease, because I know I had to walk in that room and be strong for my son and be strong for, you know, my ex-wife or wife at the time. And it's one of the scariest things you have to ever go through. You know, now you got to count carbs. I mean, he played every single sport. And you read about amputations, you read about seizures, you read about all these things. And it was a lot to grasp in a very short time. And I did not leave the hospital. I stayed in his room on that fold-out couch for 6 days, trying to learn and gather as much information as I could about juvenile diabetes. And then I got on the board of diabetes to try to figure out how can we, you know, come together as a nation and try to bring awareness to it. And I said, you know what? Why don't I host my own golf tournament and try to raise money for this chapter? But it's just not for my son. My son, you know, with my insurance and stuff at the time, he was going to get his medicine. But I still amazes me, how do you live in the United States of America and people can't pay for, they didn't sign up to have diabetes, but they can afford their medicine, you know, and it's come leaps and bounds. But now the only scary thing about it is it's not juvenile, it's called type 1. So at any moment, Frank, myself, Scott, our pancreases can shut down and we would be insulin dependent. So that's how my foundation started. And after years of doing that, I did not want to be pigeonholed into just diabetes. I said, we have to make this tournament bigger so we can help the needs of the local community. You know, and during COVID, we fed over probably about 400,000 people. My wellness centers and stuff that I have partners in, we and actually it was their idea to start free IVs and for essential workers, firemen and police officers, nurses, to try to keep them safe. And then, you know, came that distance learning. And, you know, when the mayor's office calls you and says, hey, can you help these kids in District 2? I grew up in District 7 out in South Sac. Hey, now we need Chromebooks and whiteboards. So, you know, the foundation is for whatever we're going through in our community or society. And if we can help, we'll help.
That's an amazing story, Greg. And we're talking to Greg Vaughn, former major league player who was born and raised here in Sacramento, went to Kennedy High School, and is giving back to his community. Well done. And, you know, and the your tournament this year happened just last month, and somehow we missed it on our calendar. So please know that next year we'll have you back on to talk about how people can get involved in your charity and how they can help.
Yeah, thank you so much. I can give you a little bit of save the date. From what I heard, it's going to be the last weekend, last week on a Monday in April, whatever that is. So, yeah, we're going to go early, and we're just going to try to, like I said, do our thing and bring as many people as we can out there to help us raise money. And like I said, there's no one on my staff that gets paid. I don't get paid. It actually costs me money. So, you know, it's just, but like I said, I was raised, you know, my grandmother and my mother, I watched them write those checks every single week. No matter how much we had or didn't have to Salvation Army, you know, the banks, and then every holiday go down there and serve people. So that was something that was instilled in me at an early age and something that I will take with me.
Well, so I'm already looking up flights to Vegas for the last weekend in April, Greg. So count me in for next year.
Yeah, it's
okay. We're doing it at Cabo Verde.
Oh, I don't even need a flight.
We're doing it at Cabo Verde next
year. Okay. All right. Excellent.
As someone who certainly supports local charity,
916 for life.
Love it.
You've agreed to be at the Gold Rush Classic coming up July 13th and 14th at Rancho Murrieta Country Club, in support of Jordan's Guardian Angels, Make-A-Wish, and some other local charities. Greg, why do you find time to support other charities as well? What is it about Sacramento, and what is it about charity that means so much to you?
Well, for me, I just think Sacramento is my base, is my roots. It's everything that defines me. That's where I come from. I'm proud to come from Sacramento. And everyone needs help. And if I can do my little bit to help someone make Sacramento a better place, I will do it. And plus, I believe in John, you know what I mean? So for me, it's a chance to go out there and have that locker room. Because, you know, with all the guys, you know, I don't miss playing. Trust me, my body hurts. I don't miss playing. but to see the guys and in the locker room and, you know, be able to see some kids and different people that you're actually helping. I mean, that's enough said. It's that's what I'll do. My birthday's Monday. I'll be at Bobby Jackson's on Monday. You know what I mean? His tournament's on my birthday, and I'm gonna go help Bobby. You know what I mean, for cancer. It's just that's just what we do. Bob, you know, Bobby supports me. You know, from Doug Christie. Like I said, the sports world. It doesn't matter what realm you are in. It is a brotherhood. And if we need help, and particular, like you're talking about golf, you know what I mean? And they show up. And so I'm going to show up for Bobby, and I'll be there for the Gold Rush.
John Jacobs is the John that Greg was referring to, tournament director of the Gold Rush Classic. And the guys that he's looking forward to seeing are, you know, O.J. Anderson from the Cardinals, Jeff Barnes, Raiders, Jim Barr, certainly from the Giants, Ron Brown, who apparently John Jacobs played some high school ball with, which I thought was an interesting story. The G-man, Gary Jarrell, will be there. Rick Jennings, one of our local city councilmen, will be there. Rod Martin, Michael Merriweather, Greg Ostertag, Olden Polonese, Pete Shaw, Mike Schumann, Reggie Theus, you know, an all-time favorite, and certainly Greg Vaughn and many more. It's the goldrushclassic.org. You know, Greg, sponsorships, as you know, are so important to these kinds of tournaments. What would you say to a sponsor that may be kind of sitting on the fence about sponsoring this tournament? Because John Jacobs can always use more sponsors, because the charities can always use more money. What would you say to somebody sitting on the fence?
You know what? I have something I live by. I never want to tell people what to do with their money. But if they're sitting on the fence about a charity where they don't know where the money's going, or they have some doubts, you know, go to the organizations that, you know, these this revenue was promised to, and ask questions and say, you know, is this legit? Because I'll tell you about my foundation, not one person gets paid. You know, I have Amy and Bob from Pool Resource Group and myself. There's three of us, you know what I mean, trying to orchestrate this thing. And John, I wouldn't be there if I didn't believe in John. If I didn't believe in Mr. Jacobs, I would not be there. You know, I think people sort of forget sometimes, as they, you know, they'll see I don't even know how much horses are at John or the ships, you know, but like with mine, oh man, that's a lot of money to play around the golf. But the money and the round of golf is going to save lives and going to make a difference. It's not going in our pockets. And that's what people have to understand. You know, we're not, I can speak for myself. I did not set my foundation up to live off of it. I set it up to make a difference in the world and in our community. And so, when, you know, that would be my message to people. The money's going to help people and help our community become better and strengthen organizations. And that's the reason to, you know, be a sponsor or to, you know, buy a foursome, whatever you can do to help. Because that sponsorship, you have to remember, Sacramento's a small city, and the same people are carrying the same nut every tournament, every sponsorship deal. So, you know, sometimes it's just whatever you can give. You know, it makes a difference. But sponsors are hard to come by, and I hate asking people. I sort of throw that on Bob and Amy. I don't want to ask anybody for anything. And you know what? We'll make do with whatever we have. God's good, and he's going to allow us to make a difference, whether that's a huge difference or a minute difference. But, you know, all I can say to the people is, we need you to help us make Sacramento a better place and our local region, I should say, because we touch people outside of Sacramento. We need everyone.
Well said, Greg. You set a really fine example, and we need to walk in the footsteps beside you. That's Greg Vaughn. Thanks so much for being with us on the show today.
Hey, thank you, guys. Scott, I'm looking forward to playing golf with you soon. Are you going to be at Bobby's tournament?
I am. Both Frank and I will be out there, so we'll look forward to using your drive for a couple of holes. Hopefully you'll come over and help us out, and I'll be at the Gold Rush as well.
Okay. All right. Hey, love you guys, man. Thank you.
Yeah, much love, Greg. Great to hear from you.
It's the GoldRushClassic.org, benefiting Jordan's Guardian Angels, Make-A-Wish, and so much more. Congratulations to John Jacobs and his team for putting this together July 13th and 14th at Rancho Murrieta Country Club. Scott, that wraps up another week of the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sactown Sports 1140. Thanks for being alongside, and thanks to our guests, Bob Klein and Greg Vaughn, and everybody else that loves the game of golf. Keep playing it. It's fun.